So we'll learn a little bit about mitzvos tzrichos kavana. It's a big machlokas in the Gemara, and we'll learn a little bit about this machlokas, if you need kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, or if you don't have kavana, if you fulfill your mitzvah at all. So the Gemara manifests itself in more than one place in Shas. The main sugya is the Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Chavches Amidav, Kifa'o v'achal matzah. If someone forced you and you ate matzah, yatzah. You fulfilled your mitzvah. Anyways, so Gemara says a little later over there, Amar Rava. Rava says, Zos omeris, hatokea l'shir yatzah. From the fact that we see that if someone forces you to eat matzah, and you didn't have kavana, Rashi explains, you didn't have kavana when you ate the matzah to fulfill the mitzvah. You just ate it because they were forcing you to eat matzah. You're still yotze. So we see from that, extrapolates to Gemara, that if you're tokei alashir, you're blowing shofar for the fun of it. You know, you're that guy in the back of the orchestra that, you know, every once in a while goes, boop, whatever. You're the tokei alashir. The halacha is that you're yatza. You fulfill your mitzvah. Includes the Gemara. Amakasava Rava. We see that Rava holds mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Mitzvos don't need kavana. That means to say Rava's opinion is that even if you do a mitzvah and you didn't think about the fact that you're fulfilling the mitzvah, not that anyone here could ever identify with this, but I'll give you a possible example. You come at the shul in the morning for the early minyan and you put on tefillin. And your mamish did not think once about tefillin. You said the hinni mechavein, but you weren't mechavein by the hinni mechavein. You put the tefillin on. You did not think once. You went like this. You didn't think about your tefillin once. In the car on the way home, like, oh, yeah, I wore tefillin. You barely remember that. Are you yotze? According to Rava's opinion, mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana. You fulfill your mitzvah. Of course, you're supposed to have kavana. We'll see tefillin maybe a little bit different. But according to the opinion of others, the Gemara brings down mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana. Rava says ain't tzrichos kavana. Others say tzrichos kavana. And according to that opinion, if you don't have kavana, you are not yotze. So, in the tour, oh, 1 second, one more piece in the Gemara here. Gemara says amalei Rav Zera l'shami. Rav Zera said to his shamish, to his assistant, his attendant, Ichavein v'takali. Have kavana to blow shofar for me and blow the shofar for me. Amakasavar says where we see, Mashmiya boi kavana. Not just the shomea, the fellow listening to the shofar has to be mechavein, has to have intent for the mitzvah of shofar, but even the fellow that's blowing the shofar also has to have kavana to be motzi, to discharge the obligation of the people that are listening to him. So the Gemara says like, the tour in Or Chaim says like this. Tzarech she'achavin ha-tokea lahotzi ha-shomea. The tokea, the blower, has to have in mind that he is being motzi, that he's discharging the obligation of the one listening to tkiya shofar. She'im taka v'lo kivein lahotzi. Because if you blow and you don't have kavana to be motzi, to help the people listening fulfill their mitzvah, lo yatza. Those people are not yotzi. And he brings this Rav Zera that he told his shamis, be mechavein, have kavana, and therefore I'll blow, and you'll blow, and I'll listen, and because you have it in mind, I'm going to be yotzi. So we see that the shomea and the mashmia both have to have halach, have to have kavana. And even though the Gemara says that Rava holds that hatokea l'shir yatza, that if you blow shofar stam, for whatever the reason is, not with kavana for the mitzvah, you're yotze, we don't paskin like Rava. So the Torah brings the first opinion, that we paskin mitzvos tzrichos kavana. You have to have kavana. And therefore, according to this, every time we do a mitzvah, we don't have intent to do the mitzvah, it's garnished. It's not a kiyum ha-mitzvah. However, the Torah brings the Ritzkeis and many other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel, that they paskin like Rava, that mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana. So he brings it as a machlokas. The Torah leaves it as a machlokas. So how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kriyas Shema says like this. Shulchan Aruch writes, "Yesh omrim she'ein mitzvos tzrichos kavana." Some people say mitzvos don't need kavana. "V'yesh omrim she'tzrichos kavana." Some people say you need kavana. Latzeis basias osa mitzvah. You have to have kavana. You have to have intent to fulfill your obligation with the performance of the mitzvah. V'chein halacha, and the halacha is mitzvos tzrichos kavana. You need kavana. Comes out according to the simple explanation of the Shulchan Aruch. If you don't have kavana, you don't have intent to fulfill your mitzvah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Which is kind of depressing for many of us Jews, because there are definitely times in our lives that we don't have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. Classic Kriya Shema. How often do we think before we're saying Shema, I'm saying Shema now to be mechaving the yotzei the mitzvah. Mitzvah of zichiras yitzias mitzrayim at the end of Shema, that little tiny la, ani Hashem elokeichem asher otzeis yeschem, you have to have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. According to this opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, if you said it but you didn't have kavana, you're not yotzei. Chaval al azman. Huh?
Your middle ground at all?
Well, you have to wait a little bit. We'll try to make you feel a little bit better soon. Okay? More than that, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah says like this, Lo Yatza, when it says you're not Yotze, Min HaTorah. This mitzvah is Tzvichas Kavana. This is the mitzvah is Nid Kavana. It's not some rabbinic institution. Biblically, a part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah is the Kavana. The intent that you're doing the mitzvah for the sake of the mitzvah. Therefore, Mid'oraisa, biblically, if a person didn't have Kavana, they have to do the mitzvah over again. So a person put on tefillin, they didn't have kavana, according to this initially, they have to put a tefillin on again. Now the Mishnah Berurah declares he's not so sure about if you make a bracha the second time you put it on, because it's a machlokes. One opinion says mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, and according to that, you wouldn't be putting your tefillin on, and maybe it's a bracha levatala. Maybe it's a bracha in vain. So maybe even a gale, the bracha pertains to the bracha, when one puts tefillin on the second time, they don't have to make a bracha. But initially, says the Mishnah Berurah, that because we pass in the mitzvah tzrichos kavana, that you have to have intent when you fulfill the mitzvah. If a person didn't, they have to put it on again.
What's the intent that you have to have?
Oh, we're going to talk about that in 1 minute. You're very good, Josh. The Mishnah Berurah adds, Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, if a person is blowing shofar stomp to train himself in the morning, before he goes to shul, he's about to okay, blows a few tkiyas, tkiyas shvarim, 30 kolos, no kavana to be yotze. Or he's saying Birkas HaMazon with his kid. Oh, don't leave the table till your bench. Come, I'm going to say it with you. Baruch atah Hashem. Is he Yotze? Lo Yotze Yedei Chovaso. You didn't have Kavanah to be Yotze. You had Kavanah to practice. Or Kavanah to say it with the kid. You have to say Birkas HaMazon over again. Even if you said the whole thing with the kid. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings here something very important. He says that there's two types of Kavanah. There's kavana of what he calls halev lemitzvah atzma, and kavana latzespa, which means to say like this. One type of kavana is the kavana you have before you do the mitzvah. I'm about to put on my tefillin, I'm having kavana that I want to fulfill my mitzvah. I'm about to make kiddush, mitzvah d'oraisa, I'm having kavana that I want to be yotzei the mitzvah of kiddush. I'm about to light Neiros Shabbos, I'm thinking in my mind, I want to fulfill the mitzvah of hadlakas Neiros Shabbos. So that's kavana for performance of the mitzvah. Then we find kavana during the mitzvah. So for example, Kriya Shema. Kavana there is initially, before you say Kriya Shema, stop for a second, I want to fulfill the mitzvah of saying Shema. Now, once you start, you've done that, there's another kind of kavana. What's that kavana?
What you're saying.
Now the first pasuk in Kriya Shema, maybe Baruch Shem, and even the first pasuk in Ve'ahavta, according to many, if you don't have kavana at the meeting of the words, you're not yotzei Kriya Shema. That's not a machlokas. Everyone agrees if you don't kavana what you're saying in the first pasuk in Kriya Shema, it's like you didn't say Kriya Shema. Same thing with Shmon Esrei. If you say the first bracha of Shmon Esrei and you don't have kavana, you have to say it over. Although the Mishnah Berurah wonders if you should say it over, because you're probably not going to have kavana the second time either. But whatever. I think I said this in the past, but I'll say it again. There was a guy davening here in the shul, in the back of the shul, one day, Mincha, on Rish Chodesh, and he forgot Yalla V'Yavo. So he came over to me, says, do I have to repeat Shemon Esrei? I said, yes. So he repeated it. He comes over to me again. He's like, I forgot Yalla V'Yavo, okay? Should I repeat Shemon Esrei?
We're all laughing, because it might have happened to all of us.
We all have
AD. But no, because your mind wanders.
It does. Yeah, you know what the famous Rav Shalom Shvadron, he says, he's walking in Machane Yehuda Market. He said this not that long ago. He's walking in the Machane Yehuda Market. And he's like, oh, should I buy these squash? Did my wife buy squash already? Whatever. And all of a sudden, a guy punches him in the chest. He's like, excuse me? What are you? And before he has a chance to say anything, the guy punches him a second time. And all of a sudden, he chaps himself. Ki mochel v'soleach ata, baruch ata, Hashem chanun hamarbel l'slovach. He was so distracted. Imamish was thinking about himself. What he's buying in the Machane Yehuda Marketplace. But when he went to Slachon, he was like, who punched me? So that's how bad distracted we are. Type doesn't justify it. That's how we are. Okay, let's go a little bit further. So those are the two kinds of kavana. However, now, When it comes to the kavana of before the mitzvah, that's the machlokas. If mitzvah tzrichas kavana, you need kavana or not, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens you do. But when it comes to kavana of the words, you're yotze, even if you didn't have one drop of kavana after the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, or for the rest of Shemoneh Esrei, you're still yotze. Avada says the Mishnah Berurah only b'di'evet, because the whole point of tefillah is avodah shevelev. You're supposed to have kavana, but you're still yotze. You fulfill your mitzvah after 120. Come to Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's a check in the box. A check in the box of Shemoneh. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tzitzis writes that there's three exceptions to this rule. There's a third type of kavana. And that kavana is when the Torah delineates the reason for the mitzvah. What are the three exceptions? What are the three types of mitzvos that you need to have the third type of kavana? Number one, the mitzvah of tzitzis. What does it say about the mitzvah of tzitzis? L'man tizkiru v'asisem is called mitzvosai. You have to have kavana before you put on your tzitzis, or at some point, at least during the tzitzis. L'man tizkiru v'asisem is called mitzvosai. That tzitzis reminds us of all the mitzvahs. That's why before we put on talis, we say, Hidini Mesatev Kufi Batzitzis, which it says in that Hidini Mesatev this. Number two, he says, Tfilin. The Tfilin says, Laman Tiyat Torah Hashem Bifich, so that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. What does that mean exactly? Look at the Nusach of Hidini Mechavim Banachas Tfilin. That's more or less what that means in a nutshell. The Kabbalah, we say in Hidini Mechavim. And there's a third type, time, the Mitzvah of Sukkah. By Sukkah it says, "Leman yedu doroseichem, ki basukos hoshavti es bnei Yisrael," so that the generation shall know that I had the Jewish people dwelling in a sukkah when I took them out of Mitzrayim. Now there's a machlokas in the Gemara what the word sukkah means. Some say the Jewish people were in sukkah mamish, in actual huts. Others say that sukkah means the anane akavod, the clouds of glory. Maybe you should have kavana for both. But there's an added layer when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah. Tefillin and tzitzis, that you have to have an added layer of kavana. There's a very scary bir halacha over there, and the bir halacha says like this. So, a guy is a bachar, or it's a fast day, they call him up, Yamoid Chaim Michel ben Buruch Tzvi, Shlishi. He gets up there, whips on his talus, you know, Baruch Yitzhak Shem Boidach, right? What happened to this fellow? He put on a tzitzis, talus, and he didn't have kavana, leman tizkru v'asisem is called mitzvosai. He didn't have any kavana whatsoever. He's thinking about the bracha. Says the bir halacha, he just violated a mitzvah saseh. Because you're not allowed to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. And he didn't have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. That means he wasn't yotze his mitzvah. That means he wore a four-cornered garment without fulfilling the mitzvah. He violated a positive command. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, however, he is matzdik it, that's okay, it's possible, that he knows if in his heart of hearts the only reason he's wearing it is for the mitzvah of tzitzis, whatever, so maybe it's okay, maybe. He also, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach in his Sefer, says, let's take it a step further. If the Mishnah Berurah writes that you also have to have kavana by sukkah, so if a guy sits in a sukkah and doesn't have kavana, l'man yedu doroseichim ki basukkah so shafti, then he's not yotze his mitzvah of sukkah. If he's not yotze his mitzvah of sukkah, he's eating outside the sukkah. Not sukkahs. In the sukkah. It's the best shayla possible. Give me a case where a guy is eating in the sukkah.
And he doesn't have kavana.
But more than that. But he's halachically he's eating outside of the sukkah. And it's a kosher sukkah. And it's not raining. And it's on sukkahs. According to the Spira Halacha, it would be, according to Shlomo Zalman's extrapolation of the Spira Halacha, it would be where he didn't have kavana. He didn't have kavana.
Who doesn't have kavana when he goes into the sukkah for that purpose of being in the sukkah?
Oh, so you're saying something which is going to make life a little bit easier for us.
So a lot of us might go in with the wrong. Why am I in the sukkah?
Right.
Because it's sukkahs, right?
Right.
I have to eat in the sukkah because it's sukkahs. But you're not going in with the intention because we lived in sukkahs. And we're supposed to do it for 7 days. That's the problem. My problem is in the intent that you have a lot of times is not even I'm doing a mitzvah.
Right.
What does a mitzvah mean?
Right.
Mitzvah. You're mitzvah to do something because God told you to do it. Because this is you're an Eved Hashem. How many of you really take it through that level of kavan? The answer is
when it's cold outside, you go into the sukkah.
You know that you're doing it because you're fulfilling your mitzvah.
Okay, you're at the Crown Hotel, 1987, then it's Hanasek. But what about then?
But you said before you're going out because it's circus. And like he said,
that okay, so we're going to get to that in 1 sec. We'll get to that in 1 sec. We'll get there. But,
that's the question. Pesach, you say if somebody forces you to use the matzah, you fulfill the matzah.
Right. Well, that's machlokas. If you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana, that you need kavana, then you're not yotze.
Nobody forces you to go into the sukkah. You run by yourself.
I hear, but if you don't think about the fact that you go, we'll see. Let's let the Mishnah Berurah talk, because the Mishnah Berurah is going to help us out a lot now. So before we get to the Mishnah Berurah, because I'm going to go in order of the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah wonders, how about a mitzvah derabbanan? Means we've been talking about biblical mitzvahs, tzitzis, sukkah, but how about, let's say, Hanukkah? Guy has no kavanah whatsoever for the mitzvah. He didn't even think about it. His mind is elsewhere. And he lights his menorah. It's only a derabbanan. It's a yotzei's mitzvah. So the Vilna Gaon holds there's no difference between a deraisa and a derabbanan. It's exactly the same halacha. But there are those, Mishnah Berurah brings down the Prima Gadim and others, that are more lenient. But then, Mishnah Berurah brings down the Chayei Adam. This Chayei Adam is a very famous Chayei Adam, and it's a game changer. And it's very logical too. Chayei Adam says like this. It depends on the mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah that you could be doing that mitzvah for something other than doing a mitzvah, for example, matzah. People eat matzah not just on Pesach.
Yeah, true.
When it's on sale after Pesach. Sure. Or Shal Shuris. Huh?
It's a straight
like way. Or people broke it into their soup. Or, you know.
I broke the whole year. Very much.
So matzah, maybe that's different. Or maybe if a guy's blowing shofar, sometimes people blow to practice. But when a guy is putting on tefillin, there is no one in the world that wears tefillin for any other reason than l'kayim ha-mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah. There's no one in the world that puts on a talus with four strings at the end of it. And by the way, it goes and slaps the guy here and slaps the guy there. There's no one else that does that. Unless they're doing it to be mekayim the mitzvah.
Yeah, I disagree with you. Because something that you do every day, you don't think about it.
You don't have to think about it.
He says you don't have to. That's
why. Says the Chayei Adam. By doing the mitzvah, that alone is considered kavana.
Right.
Like, but on some level, you knew to put on tefillin.
You know, I would think, what about a level where the presuming niece is happening even without you?
But that's a second
without
level.
Without your kavana. I think we had that. We were talking.
A little bit.
It's a separate mitzvah.
Right, we got it. If it's a seventh or a tenth, it's the same mitzvah. But regardless of what, this Chayei Adam helps us a lot.
Yeah.
And he also says, why does Mishnah Berurah say it's by the Rabbanans? Because if you think about it, I'm pretty confident that most good Jews make a bracha before they eat. But how many people have kavana when they say the bracha? Forget about kavana of the meaning. Forget about that. Just that they stop for a moment and say, I make the bracha. You know, it's just like you reach for a cup of water, shakel nirvara. Now, if you don't learn like this Chayei Adam, and you hold like the Gaon and others, brachas are a mitzvah derabbanan, and it comes out, you say brachas all the time, you're not yotzei a mitzvah derabbanan, means you said Hashem's name in vain. But if you learn like this Chayei Adam, you didn't think about the explanation of the words. That's the other kind of kavana. But you also didn't think about the fact that you're making a bracha, but you wouldn't make a bracha, stam. Even Kriya Shema, he says. If you didn't have one drop of kavana to say Kriya Shema. But if you're saying Kriya Shema, people don't say Kriya Shema. Okay, maybe Kriya Shema is a little bit different because people say Kriya Shema when they learn Torah. But Pashto, simply, a person says Kriya Shema. They say Kriya Shema because they want to do the mitzvah. Even if they don't think about it before. That kavana is sufficient for a person to be yosef's mitzvah according to the Chayei Adam and the Mishnah Berurah Paskens like this. And that makes our lives a lot more worthwhile. Because all the times that we didn't think about all the things that we did, if there's something that by definition is an action of exclusively for a mitzvah, we're yotze according to the opinion of the Chayei Adam. And it's a game changer. Without this Chayei Adam. And if you think about it, it has to be this way. Because we were learning in the Mechaz Chinuch Shir on Shabbos that there's something called Sheish Mitzvos Tamidios. Six constant mitzvos. Le'ahovas Hashem. Love Him. Yiras Hashem. The mitzvahs that apply at all times. Now, who has kavana for them? If they apply at all times, you never have kavana for them. So let's say, whatever, it's beyond scope discussion how you fulfill this all the time, but the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Let's say you're actually having Avas Hashem, but you didn't have kavana for it. The answer is, explain the Mepharshim, that the Avas Hashem itself is the mitzvah. You don't love Hashem if it's not a mitzvah. What's the point? When you
Lahavin sheyesh Eloka, to believe that there's a God. Yiras Hashem. Those things, liyach la'ava, liyachto, los asuru, those things by definition are acts of a mitzvah. Believe in Hashem is an act of a mitzvah. What else is it? So says the Chai, he takes even a step further, the Horos Nasan, the Sefer Nasan takes a step further. Not just with this Chai Adam, that when you do an action, but even a thought, but a thought that's exclusive to a mitzvah type of thought, you fulfill the mitzvah. So if a guy thinks he has, yeah, whatever, he was working on a deal, the deal falls through. Rachman HaLitzvah. And then what happens? He's like, it's Minash Shemai. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Right then he fulfills the mitzvah to me. Of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem. I'll tell you guys something very interesting. I was talking to a guy last week. And he works in a very volatile type of job. Sometimes he can make a lot of money in his job. And sometimes he works very hard on a deal and the deal crashes and burns and he makes nothing out of it. So he said the only way that he really survives is that when he works very hard on the deal and everything falls apart at the last minute, he's like, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He didn't want it to happen. So he said to me, it's a very honest moment. He says to me, I'm not sure if I really believe that that's what Hashem wanted, or if I don't have another choice, I have no other coping mechanism besides that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen, so therefore I'm saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. But do I really believe that's what Hashem wanted to happen? So I don't know you. But that's if you're thinking about that, that's a good thing. It's a first step.
Definitely. People say Shema when they are in Tzarot and pain and scared and kind of a natural thing. Is the same
thing. The Seishema? Yeah.
No atheists in foxholes.
Right, there ain't no atheists in the foxholes. I think that's part of it. You know, that's part of a Jew's. That's how we work. That's how we operate.
Okay, let's go a little bit further. So, there's a fascinating Piskei Tshuvas here. And he says like this. If you hold by a Durabbanan, so we said, simply put, a mitzvah srichas kavana, you read kavana by doraisas and rabbanan. But if you hold like the opinion of the who did the Mishnah Berurah bring down? No. Before the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that there's a difference between a mitzvah doraisa and a mitzvah derabbanan. That by mitzvahs derabbanan, you don't need kavana. It's good to have kavana, but you don't need kavana to fulfill your mitzvah. So he says something, Biskechua says something very, very interesting. Let's say you're at a Shabbos meal, and two people are making Kiddush at the Shabbos meal. The host is making Kiddush, and they're like, oh, would you like to make Kiddush? Yeah, I'd like to make my own Kiddush also. Which, by the way, halachically, you shouldn't make Kiddush, because Rovam, it's better to have more people participating in one bracha. Well, you can. Whatever. If you like the way that your kid's home, and you want to hear, you make such a beautiful Kiddush, you ask them to please make Kiddush. So that's nachas for the parents. That's also a mitzvah. Problem is like this. The father gets up there and he says the mitzvah, makes Kiddush, it's the Rabbanon, let's say the Kiddush Rabbanon, Shabbos day maybe. And that's not a great example. Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, much better example. Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. You're standing there. The guy right before you makes the bracha, Shekinishanu, the mitzvosa, vitzivanu, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. And you don't need kavanah to fulfill your mitzvah. You're just yotze his bracha.
If you said amen.
I don't even know if you have to say amen. If you heard it, Shomei Akona. So could you not say your own bracha? If mitzvah srichas kavana, I ain't srichas kavana by a drabana, you don't need kavana, then I was yotze with no kavana whatsoever. I don't know if I can make my bracha.
Does it depend on your intention? The listener?
If you have intention that you don't want to be yotze with him. So says the Piskei Tshuvas that it's possible that you have to have kavana that you don't want to be yotze with the guy before you so that his bracha doesn't work for you. According to this
we're
opinion,
planning to
maybe it only works for the positive. In other words, it only works one way.
Right, you're saying it doesn't work that it's you can't make brachas.
Right,
but he doesn't read out such an opinion. It doesn't mean sound or Sfira Saomer. The Chazan gets up there, says Hashem Gishan Mitzvosa Vitzivanu, Al Sfira Saomer, and you want to make a bracha now, but he made the bracha already. How could you make a bracha?
But you said, is it not the same by Kiddush?
But Kiddush is derisa. Usually Kiddush is derisa.
So
Sfiras
Omer is not derisa?
It's his mom is that. It's the Rabbanah. So bottom line is, by any mitzvah derabbanah, he says maybe it's better to have kavanah. You don't want to be yotze the mitzvah. I think we could rely upon, if you didn't have that kavanah, you probably could make your second bracha. But it's just interesting that there is even such an opinion, bichlal. There is such an opinion. Okay. Now, I don't want to do any false advertising over here. So, in many svarim, and many haggadahs and It's printed a L'shem Yichud. Before we fulfill any mitzvah, there's a L'shem Yichud that's printed. So for example, the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. That's what's printed in many, or Yeshiva Sukkah. Yeah. Well, it's not just Hinni Mimuchan. You say Hinni Mimuchan is part of it. Or yeah. Here's how it goes. Let's find Svirsa Omer. It's Hinni L'shem Yichol Kutcher Bricho Shchinta Bechilah Rechimo L'Yachdash whatever Bechuda Shlim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Just take that. Let's see what that means just for a moment.
Is it by derisive or all of
it? So there's a big shaila when one says it and if one says it, but many people say it. Here, right before Sfiras Omer, that's a good place. L'shem Yichol Kutcher Bricho Shchinta, for the sake of the unification of the Holy One, blessed is He and His presence. B'dechilu urechimu, with fear and with love. L'yachet Shem Yudhei Bevavhei, to unite the name of Yudhei and Vavhei. B'yichud Hashlim, with a complete union. B'shem Kol Yisrael, in the name of all the Jewish people, I hereby want to fulfill the mitzvah. V'taryag mitzvos hatluyim ba, and the 613 mitzvahs that are dependent on it. So what is this L'shem Yichud? So before we even start, my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, the Noda Behuda, Rabbi Yechezkel Landau, has a very, very strong tshuva. Who said you're supposed to say that? He said for hundreds and thousands of years, no one said this L'shem Yichud. All of a sudden, people come along and they make up new tefillos, not happy with L'shem Yichud. And when they pushed him into a corner, he said, okay, but what do you mean? But this L'shem Yichud helps you have kavanah for the mitzvah. So the Rabbi Yehuda writes like this. If it's a mitzvah that has a bracha before you do the mitzvah, Sherekin Hashem, so it's Vodolan Yach Tfilin, Lahavik Ner Shal Chanukah, don't say anything, because the bracha itself should be preparing you instead of the Yashem Yichud. But let's say you come across a mitzvah that there is no bracha before you do the mitzvah. Putting on a talus when you get up called for an aliyah. Let's just say for a moment. Then he says, okay, begrudgingly, I hear, you should say, speak out, I am doing the mitzvah. I'm doing the mitzvah. But this Lusach of L'shem Yichud, who made such a thing up? Shtusim. So much so that the Shalos HaTshuva's Tshuva Me'ava, who's a Talmud of the Noda Behuda, writes that he was once with the Noda Behuda at Sukkot, and the Noda Behuda always had the most beautiful Esrig in town. And he would let people come and make a bracha on his Lulav and Esrig. And one guy got up there, took the Lulav, and before he made the bracha, the guy went, said L'shem Yichud, the Noda Behuda took it away from him. So I'm not letting you do the mitzvah. Say the Shem Yichud before you put on, say a bracha, say before you shake lulav. Whoever says you're supposed to do such a thing, say the bracha, that's good enough. He just let the guy shake his lulav. That's how strong the Noda Behuda felt about this. And by the way, interestingly enough, amongst Hasidim, L'shem Yichud is standard. They always say L'shem Yichud. Besides for Tzadzer Hasidim, Rechaim Sanzer, the scion of the Sanzer dynasty, did not say L'shem Yichud out of deference or reverence for the Noda Behuda. He would not say, even the old Hasidim around him said it. Which makes me feel really good. Number one, because I come from the Noda Behuda. Number two, because my great-great-great-grandfather grew up in the house of the Chaim Tzandzer. He was a misnagid. Misnagid is someone that was anti-Hasidus when it was started. And he had a business partner that was a Hasidish guy. And my great-great-great-great-grandfather didn't have any children. So this Hasidish guy kept nudging him, go to my Rebbe Reb Chaim Tzandzer, he'll give you a bracha, you'll have a child. He's like, all right, I'm not going for no Hasidish Rebbe, it's not over my dead body. And then his wife heard about it. She's like, you and your sheikhs are going to make us childless. We'll have no continuity. So she schlepped him to Reb Chaim Sanzer. Reb Chaim looked at them. He says, I'm willing to give you a bracha. You shall have a boy, but I'm on condition. I get to raise until he's 12. Mom, is a catch 22 situation. You're a misnagid. You're against chassidus. And you have getting, no, you can have a chassidus sheingala. Doesn't work. You know, that's what happened. They said, okay. And Reb Chaim Sanzer raised this little boy until he was 12. And when he left, Reb Chaim Sanzer gave him a present. His Yerusha, actually. Reb Chaim Sanzer, he gave his wife Yom Kippur Yom. He got his Reb Chaim Sanzer's Yom Kippur. It was in our family till right before World War II and during World War II it was lost. So Reb Chaim Sanzer has a keshet to my family and the Noda Behuda. This is full circle for me. The Hasidim, the Misnagdim, everyone agrees you shouldn't say the Shem Yichud. With that being said, there's many, many Mekoros to say the Shem Yichud. Some great, holy people who say that. You're right. Bad thing, you don't have to say the Shem Yichud. You don't say it, you're Yotze.
Where does it come from? Who wrote it?
I don't know. Maybe, but it's all Kabbalah.
Maybe it was a recognition that what was very easy for people to have
they can't anymore.
But they can't. And by the way, I think you now need something above the L'shem Yichud.
We need a L'shem Yichud for the L'shem Yichud.
Every time the L'shem Yichud comes out, you're like, oh God, I have to say this.
So I just want to take 2 minutes or 3 minutes, because L'shem Yichud does have holiness, and now it's pretty universally accepted. And I want to explain a few lines in L'shem Yichud. So we begin and we say like this: L'shem Yichud, Kutcha Brichu, for the unification of Hashem, L'yachid Shem Yud He Bevav He. To put together Yud He and Vav He. What does that even mean? So we know that Yud He, the Yud and the He represent the Olamos HaElyonim, the spiritual worlds. Vav He represents this world, Api Kabbalah. You have to take it from me. I'm not going to tell you the source. If I told you, I'd have to, I'd have to kill you. So the Yud He represents Olamos HaElyonim. The Vav He represents Olamos HaTachtonim, the lower worlds. When we do a mitzvah, what we're doing is we're taking a physical object and we're adding Kedusha to a physical object. We're a physical person, flesh and blood, karetz mechomer. And we're elevating ourselves into a spiritual being. The performance of the mitzvah unifies the Yud-He and the Vav-He. The spiritual reality and the physical reality. We find another the word Sadi Vav or mitzvah. The shortest of the word mitzvah means a line. It's a connector between the spiritual world and between the physical world. So that's what we say, the first step when we say it.
Then we continue and we say like this. Bichud Ashlim. We want it to be a complete union. The physical and the spiritual coming together, perfection. B'shem Kol Yisrael. In the name of all Jews.
What does it mean, B'shem Kol Yisrael? So the Mechaz Chinuch here a few weeks ago, we said that there's different pshat. One pshat is like this. It's impossible for any one person to do all 613 mitzvos. You're a Levi. You do Levi mitzvos. You're a Levi. You do Levi mitzvos. The Kohen does Kohen mitzvos. A person would have to get divorced in order to fulfill the mitzvah of get. They'd have to do Yibum. That means that a brother dies and they marry. It's impossible for him. So how is it possible for a person to have all carrying mitzvahs? The answer is that because of Arvus, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, the connection that we all have to one another, when you do a mitzvah, that mitzvah, some of that mitzvah helps me as well. So that's what means shame Kol Yisrael. It means to say, I'm doing this mitzvah. Maybe there's a guy who can't put on a talus, who can't eat matzah because he doesn't have teeth, who can't, is sick and can't fulfill the mitzvah. I'm doing it for all Kol Yisrael. By connecting myself to Kol Yisrael, I'm fulfilling all the mitzvahs. But the Rebbe Yitzchak says, actually, that there is a olam, there's a spiritual reality called B'Shem Kol Yisrael. And he says, and the Siddur Shalom brings this down in the Sefer, and he says that alone a person has many flaws. When we come to Hashem as an individual, Hashem looks at us and he's like, chutzpah. Like we'd say, you're a shvanz. Shvanz is a tail. We really have no merit standing in front of a we have no merit standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But when we come as a klal, when we come as a community, as a group of people, there's a lot more power. And Hashem is not me'ayin. Hashem is not so exacting in each individual person. So we say we want to fulfill our mitzvah b'shem Kol Yisrael. We want the mitzvah to somehow tap into the reality of Kol Yisrael. And Kol Yisrael is a place where Kodesh Baruch Hu is not mavchim. He doesn't look so carefully. Yeah, you want to do a mitzvah with that lulav? You want to shake a lulav with that hand? You know what that hand just did? It smacked the guy. You want to say Kriya Shema with that mouth? You know what that mouth just did? It just cursed somebody else out. The mitzvah is worthless. But if somehow we could tap into the Shem Kol Yisrael, then Hashem is not so exacting and there's more of a chance of that mitzvah having the impact it's supposed to have. And we finish, we say like this, V'taryag mitzvot hatluyim ba. And the 613 mitzvahs, so Sfasemis asked the question, what do you mean? If I'm putting on tzitzis, I want all, and the 613 mitzvahs are dependent on tzitzis, 612 that are dependent on mitzvahs tzitzis. Because I'm doing tzitzis now. And there's 612 mitzvahs that are connected to this. So he says, I don't understand his answer 100%. I'll tell you the answer anyways. He says that there's a klal, which is called taryag, kind of the rule or the whole, that's 613. And there's the prat, the detail. That's each mitzvah that we do. So when Shem Kali, the taryag mitzvah tatluyim ba mein sama means that by doing this prat, this individual mitzvah, now I'm connecting to the, I'm bringing it into the taryag, into the 613. Not 100% sure, but I think the additional understanding is what we said before. The reason we conclude that B'tayim was a tluyim ba'am meitzel is because by me including myself b'shem kol Yisrael, then what does that do? Now it connects me to all the taryag, to all the 613 mitzvahs that somebody else performs. I think that makes it much more meaningful. Regardless of what, bottom line is we need to train ourselves to be less distracted, like Josh said before, In 2018, we hardly have a fighting chance when it comes to davening. We have so many things going on in our mind. And then you add on to that the fact that our phone's out. So subconsciously, we're looking for a message. We're listening, totally subconsciously. It becomes so hard to daven. It becomes so hard to have kavanah when we do anything, because who has kavanah anymore? Who thinks? I look at the next generation. I'm not our generation, I think, is still as, you know, we did have a period of time where we didn't have phones. But look at the next generation. Look what happens when I teach a class. The second class is over, the second there's a moment of downtime, the phone comes out. It was never even a second lachshov. Never a second to think. What kind of life is it if you don't think? Who said, I think, therefore I am? Descartes, right? I think, therefore I am. You don't think. You have no. Kavanah has to do with learning how to think. How to train yourself. I'm going to conclude with one halacha which nobody whatsoever knows. So when we wake up in the morning, we put on our talis katan. We don't make a bracha. You're not supposed to make a bracha when you put on your talis katan. Why? Because the bracha on your talis gadol, that you make a shekrisham, that exempts you from the talis katan. You know what the Mishnah Berurah writes? No one knows this halacha. I don't know why. I didn't know this either until not that long ago. But when you put on your talis gadol, you have to have kavanah for your talis katan. No one knows this. It says in the Farish of the Mishnah Berurah. And I think to myself in the morning often, I have a hard enough time thinking about my talis gadol. And now I'm supposed to have kavanah about my talis katan also. You're stretching it. But these were not issues because people were able to focus and people were able to have kavanah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should learn how to focus and we should learn how to do mitzvahs properly. So we do that. The kavanah adds a lot to the mitzvah itself. Then we could be yotzeh, we could be told the chayyadim that for doing the mitzvah, the act, why come out to the chayyadim with the mitzvahs lechatchila? We should be focused, driven, thoughtful Jewish people, and then the mitzvahs that we do that be that much more impactful. Have a great night.